It's the ODEC with Gordo, brought to us by Tylock George Laser Eye Care.
I've had a total, I think, 6 hours of sleep over the past two nights and no naps.
That's good.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to be on this earth much longer at this rate. So you guys know that on Tuesday night, we had the big show at American Airlines Center with Cyndi Lauper on her farewell tour.
Mm-hmm.
And then last night was an interesting musical night because we had a secret show, a pop-up show. I don't know what you call these things. A show that was announced kind of last minute, just a few days in advance, and not widely publicized. And the tickets were very hard to get because it was a small venue with a big-time artist. And that was this gentleman right here on Sports AM.
Love him.
Jack White played Trees with his band, and it was a fantastic show. I was
Look
wondering.
At you going to back to back shows?
Back to back shows, and, you know, I was curious as to, because the tickets were so hard to get. I got in line on the website, I'm trying to do that and everything, and.
Then I called Corby.
And then I called Corby, which is what everyone should do immediately, first thing. I swear, does Corby know everyone in the world?
Yes.
Pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, yeah, Jack White's my best friend. So
pretty much.
So, yeah, but anyway, so went to the show. Trees, of course, was packed. And Jack White, he's almost 50. But good Lord, does that guy have so much energy. He's an incredible entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just watching him up there work the stage, he's got that magnetic presence and personality on stage. It's just, he's electric, even when he's playing acoustic. That's my pull quote for him. Go ahead, you can use that.
Wow.
But it was great. Packed house, we had, everyone was standing on the floor. I chose a seat up in the balcony.
Like a king.
Where you could read a book.
Like a king or an older person who just can't stand for long periods of time. Yeah, I did bring a book, as a matter of fact. I brought my Kindle. So if I used pre-Kindle for the tickets and then read on the Kindle. No, I don't even know what pre-Kindle is. I'm so confused by ticketing these days.
Yeah, it's a ticket service.
Everybody is.
Yeah, George, you understand it. You've been through it. But he played for, I think, an hour and a half, somewhere in there. And he did play this song. This was the song he ended the show with.
Cool.
And I'm not that familiar with the White Stripes, his former band, and, of course, him as a solo artist. You know, I know other people who are much bigger fans, including Corby, Jack White's best friend.
Is Corby doing his hippie dance all night long?
Oh, yeah. Corby was tripping balls on some kind of acid. But I do want to promote the fact that at 4:50, I'll be joining the Hardline today. And we're going to talk about the show in depth.
And post-game show.
Yeah, the post-game show will happen on the Hardline today. So tune in for my visit with them because it's going to be amazing. Amazeballs. Us talking about it.
I love Jack White. The only time I've seen him in person, though, is at training camp when Bob Corby and I went to see the Raconteurs,
yeah,
his other band, in Santa Barbara at the Santa Barbara Bowl. And that is one of the best concert experiences of my life because they took everybody's phone as you walked in. So you were forced to talk to other human beings.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
It was great. And the show was spectacular. And the weather was spectacular. The venue was great. He puts on a hell of a show.
Yeah. He was great. And I was amazed at how many hooks that guy can write. He writes such hooky guitar parts like this. Of course, now has become one of the most identifiable riffs in rock music history.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a big arena and stadium song now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the crowd's doing the vocal part of it, yeah.
And think about this. I mean, this is basically just one riff that the whole song is built around. That one hook. But he knows the concept of simplicity and just kind of a gritty really organic sounding guitar tone that he gets from using a lot of the store-bought brands from the 50s and 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
You know, Silvertone and K and all those instruments that were sold at a Sears catalog back in the day. That's what he likes to use. And he had so many songs that had great hooks in them. And he reminded me a lot of, I'm sitting there listening to him thinking, oh, this sounds kind of Led Zeppelin-y in a way, because he has the high-pitched voice with the gritty guitar, and I know he's obviously a fan of Jimmy Page, and a lot of blues influence, which, of course, Zeppelin had a lot of blues mm-hmm. influence. And he even mentioned, Jack White mentioned, he said just three blocks from here at Trees in Deep Ellum, which is a great venue, he said three blocks from here is where Robert Johnson recorded half of his catalog, and you guys are lucky to have that kind of history right here in Dallas. Like, he knew that whole story, and
that's great.
He appreciates the greats of blues.
Well, it's so cool that he does this. I heard the Hardline talking about it, and I think he does it for the, I guess, his own experience.
The P1s.
It does it for the P1s. Obviously. I guess his own experience in playing a venue like that, but also he does it for his most hardcore fans who can have an experience like that.
Well, it was like the perfect size venue. I wish every artist that I saw was in that size venue with that kind of crowd. There's nothing better than a smaller venue with a packed house.
Yeah.
The energy is fantastic. And I don't know that I had been in Trees since I played there in the early 90s. I'm trying to think if I'd been there since then.
I've never been to Trees.
You know, that was the venue that there was one summer where our sound guy, the late, great Creighton Curley, who used to do ticket events for us for many, many years before he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
But he was our frequent sound guy, our go-to sound guy back when I was in a band that was playing around town a lot. And there was one summer where Creighton hired me to do gigs with him, because he had sound systems, and so I'd do the load in and load out with him, and I hated it because it was so much manual labor.
Yeah.
And I was not about that back in the day. I'm not about any kind of labor ever. So one of the shows was a band that I wasn't all that familiar with before they got really, really famous, and it was Nirvana.
Wow, really?
Yeah. And so I would always look for any excuse to get out of doing shows. I mean, it was good money, though. He'd pay me like $100 a night, which was...
Back then.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So much. So I can't remember. I had my college girlfriend. I wanted to be with her, and so I think I said no on that one. Anyway, that was the night that... And I was always over on the monitors. That's usually what I ran. I ran the monitor mix, and Crate would run front of house. Now, Nirvana, I think, had their own sound people, so we just brought in the equipment and put them there, and just we would stand by as their sound guys would do the work.
So guys constantly looking at you, telling you,
yeah, turn it up, turn
thumbs
up. Yeah, I was in band, so I knew this, that we in bands oftentimes want our wedges to basically be louder than the front of house. It's ridiculous. So I didn't do the Nirvana gig, and that turned out to be the very famous one where Kurt Cobain took his guitar and smashed through the monitor console, and Creighton would not let the band leave until they paid him in cash to replace that soundboard.
That wow. could have been you.
Yeah.
You had to get out of the way.
Yeah, it could have been me that had to nosedive off my stool to get out of the way of
wow.
Kurt Cobain's smashing guitar. Yeah, that was at Trees.
That's pretty cool.
That famous bit of Nirvana and rock and roll history happened at Trees.
Did he not smash guitars very often? Is that why that was
Kurt
unusual?
Cobain, he would smash guitars, but he usually didn't destroy
house equipment.
Yeah, the sound man's equipment.
Okay.
Because, you know, it was several thousand dollars worth of... I think it was all the money that Nirvana basically made that night had to go
wow.
to pay off Creighton for the soundboard. And the place looked... The stage set up... It was the same as back when I used to play there. Like, the stage
wow.
in the same area hadn't been reconfigured. It was, and then seeing where the drummer was set up, which was the Rack and Tours drummer that was playing with Jack White last night. I swear he was set up in the exact same place that
Dave Grohl
was at Nirvana night. kind of off to the side. It was fantastic. So 450 today with Corby and the crew. I think that's what Corby told me the name of the show is now. Is that not true? He told me that.
Corby and still the crew. Hardline, yeah. I think.
Oh, it is? Okay, he said it was Corby and the crew.
He's trying to get it renamed.
Yeah. That's what he told Jack White.
That's what he told Jack White.
Hey, you want to come on the show? Corby and crew.
So, rocking out.
All right, Gordon. Awesome.
Eiffel. Like
ready?
In stripes.
Go!
But so he is releasing, and I don't know if this is AI or if this is using like original recordings, but he is bringing back undead Bing Crosby. So V is teaming up with Bing Crosby to do a reimagined version of White Christmas.
Okay, now this is interesting because you would think that fans of V, which I am, they don't know who Bing Crosby is.
No,
idea. but they know White Christmas.
Maybe.
It's a standard. Bing Crosby to do it.
My kids, I don't think know White Christmas.
Well, V said, you know, V is
all your kids know. Definitely know about White Christmas.
You know, it's hard to tell all the BTS guys apart.
White everything.
Shut up.
But V,
I'm offended as a native.
His thing is that he's really into jazz, and so he says that Bing Crosby is one of his all-time favorite jazz artists, and so he has so much admiration. He hopes people enjoy his version and that people who are fans of Bing Crosby feel the respect that he has.
So I had seen, and Gordon, you have to be in the same boat. I'd seen that creepy Devil Dogs album from David Bowie where the cover of it is one of the most, if you're a child, one of the most disturbing album covers I've ever seen. It's like this demonic drawing of Bowie as a crazed dog.
Especially when you fold it out.
Dude, it's so gross, and it creeped me out so much. And so I knew who he was, and then I saw the Bing Crosby, David Bowie video of them doing Little Drummer Boy together.
Terrible.
And it always creeped me out because I knew that that guy sitting at the piano was...
Was half dog?
Yeah, was half dog. And he was all skinny and had the big Adam's apple and loved Satan and stuff. I couldn't handle it.
Those crazy witch teeth.
Ugh.
Yeah, I don't know why he didn't get his teeth filed down.
Do you think half dog and half deer knew each other?
Who is half deer?
All right, so last night...
You definitely know.
Corby and Gordon had a very special date, and they're going to tell you about it next. On the ring. It's a place called Gaiety.
How do you know it's gay?
Yeah, what tipped him off that it was?
It's not
gay
like
in nature.
Boof magazine.
It's just kid stuff.
Wow.
Norm says it.
We're docking.
Yeah, it's the docking podcast on the Gaiety podcast network. So he talked about. He was asked. Because I guess in the script, it mentions that McRaenis was in relationships with other men. And, like, that's part of his backstory.
Because that was big back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, and back so, when Babe
and
Ruth
so
was playing.
Gaiety asked Denzel, so how gay is the Roman Empire?
Super gay.
Super gay.
I don't know, man.
So Denzel said... He said, I actually kissed a man in the film, but they took it out. They cut it. I think they got chicken. He says, I kissed a guy full on the lips, and I guess they weren't ready for that yet.
What do you mean they're not ready? How much gay stuff have we... We've seen a million gay things. And especially
maybe
for,
you have.
Stop for, leaning into it there.
Gay.
Jeez.
Well, I mean, we have.
But he said at the end, he says, I killed him about 5 minutes later. It's Gladiator. It's the kiss of death.
Ah, okay.
Okay, so it wasn't a gay kiss. It was a death
kiss.
Well,
maybe it had homoerotic overtones, but it was also the kiss of death.
So what was up with the Roman Empire and, like, everyone being gay and stuff? Not everyone, but, like...
You sound like the biggest idiot.
So what's up with the Roman Empire and everyone being, like, gay and stuff?
It's
I
not
love history.
I was a history major.
When I found out about all the Roman gay stuff, I changed my major.
I love history.
This place is the best.
So, but it wasn't so much that they were gay. It was just that. Let's
a transcript of this whole thing.
Let's just bang everyone.
Yeah. Well, who was what was the character in Game of Thrones that got his head stomped by the mountain?
Oh yeah,
Martel
Pascal,
Pedro Pascal. Yeah, that he said
he was in Gladiator.
I can't remember who he was talking to, but he was saying that if you go both ways, you double your options.
He's smart.
It's an old Woody Allen line, which I didn't know that they knew about Woody Allen in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I was gonna say I think Westeros was first. But Woody Allen stole
that. I don't understand. I mean, Cersei, she's in the Red Keep. I don't even know why.
You bottomed out there for a moment.
The devolving of Woody Allen.
Okay, this is the height of trolling. Moving on to a different story.
Okay.
As The Onion, the satirical newspaper / website.
Mm-hmm. Don't tell me they bought InfoWars.
Thank you, Gordon. Why don't you do it?
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, they bought InfoWars at auction.
No, I was kidding. No, go ahead.
Don't even try to tell me that they bought InfoWars.
I was just guessing.
What did they buy it for? What did they buy it for?
Undisclosed. They did not say how much they paid.
Was it like $5 type thing?
No, I think it was quite a bit more than that because it was
the money goes to the victims, right?
Well, it was a Chapter 7 bankruptcy liquidation auction, and it was for InfoWars intellectual property, inventory, and production equipment. And so The Onion, who they have a parent company, and they were just bought by a super rich dude who owns a software company. So they have their own money. But they were also backed by the families of the Sandy Hook school shooting.
Yes.
And so they backed them in this purchase. And so they're going to relaunch InfoWars in January as a parody of itself.
Oh, my God. That's so brilliant.
Yeah. And during the relaunch, a nonprofit called Every Town for Gun Safety will be the exclusive advertiser. So.
That's high comedy, dude. And very Onion.
Yeah.
Like, it's perfect.
Very Onion. This is for you, Corby.
I'm here.
As and for you as well, Gordon, as you are obsessed with AI.
Yeah, Gordon. Indeed.
But the estate of Jerry Garcia has reached a deal with 11 Reader to use AI in partnership with 11 Labs, which is... I guess the 11 Reader R&D company, but they are going to, they have created an AI version of now Jerry Garcia, of Jerry Garcia.
My eyes.
Lando just stood up.
That you can use to read audiobooks, articles, poetry, PDFs, and many other things to you. So. You can, like, have ESPN articles be read to you by Jerry Garcia.
Yeah. Hey, this is... We talked about this. I predicted this a long time ago. I'm sure someone predicted before me, though.
It's 2024. What are we doing?
But, yeah, this is going to be... I think that we're seeing the last of the actual biological celebrities because they can be famous in perpetuity with AI, and we'll just get used to them as being... Like pop culture figures for forever.
Yeah, but
Garcia will be doing new music. You can have all sorts of things. There's so many applications you can use.
But
AI
I think
to keep his career going.
And yeah, you can keep it going. But every generation will still have their people.
No.
That will be called and like right now, a 25-year-old who is obsessed with Olivia Rodrigo. Is still not going to give a damn about Jerry Garcia reading, you know, Robert Frost poems to him.
Right.
But
I didn't know that sentence was going to be said today.
No.
A lot of elements in that.
Shout out to Robert Frost for making the show.
And Olivia Rodrigo.
Well,
but yeah, what I mean is that I think the celebrities of the future will actually just be entirely new AI creations.
Well, and okay.
Like the actors will be AI, not based on a real celebrity that preceded them. Real celebrities that preceded them will also still be around, but they'll be the last ones that were based on actual humans.
So transitioning into the next story, the final story of
E-news.
Quick. It's Whoa. E-news. Sorry.
He's sick.
Yeah, I'm on cold medicine.
Really? Hemorrhoid cream?
Yes. Hemorrhoid cream that I put in my mouth.
On his butt first, though.
Yeah. So, like, Asian countries, Japan and South Korea.
Like, I expect this out of Bob, but not you.
No disrespect.
They definitely have AI-created pop stars, like Gordon's talking about. However, this is an actual pop star, V, of BTS. So BTS is still on hiatus because they have to do their South Korean military compulsory time.
Yeah, I'm sure he's a great soldier.
V of BTS?
Yeah. He just doesn't seem like a soldiering type.
He probably is really good at like synchronized dancing with the rifle. Like
Ready?
In Stripes.
Go!
But so he is releasing, and I don't know if this is AI or if this is using like original recordings, but he is bringing back undead Bing Crosby. So V is teaming up with Bing Crosby to do a reimagined version of White Christmas.
Okay, now this is interesting because you would think that fans of V, which I am, they don't know who Bing Crosby is.
No,
well,
idea.
but they know White Christmas.
Maybe
it's a standard. Bing Crosby to do it.
My kids, I don't think know White Christmas.
Well, V said, you know, V is
all your kids know. Definitely know about White Christmas.
You know, it's hard to tell all the BTS guys apart.
White everything.
Shut up.
But V,
I'm offended as a native.
His thing is that he's really into jazz, and so he says that Bing Crosby is one of his all-time favorite jazz artists, and so he has so much admiration. He hopes people enjoy his version and that people who are fans of Bing Crosby feel the respect that he has.
So I had seen, and Gordon, you have to be in the same boat. I'd seen that creepy Devil Dogs album from David Bowie where the cover of it is one of the most, if you're a child, one of the most disturbing album covers I've ever seen. It's like this demonic drawing of Bowie as a crazed dog.
Especially when you fold it out.
Dude, it's so gross, and it creeped me out so much. And so I knew who he was, and then I saw the Bing Crosby, David Bowie video of them doing Little Drummer Boy together.
Terrible.
And it always creeped me out because I knew that that guy sitting at the piano was
half dog.
Yeah, was half dog. And he was all skinny and had the big Adam's apple and loved Satan and stuff. I couldn't handle it.
Those crazy witch teeth.
Ugh.
Yeah, I don't know why he didn't get his teeth filed down.
Do you think half dog and half deer knew each other?
Who is half deer?
All right, so last night,
you definitely know
Corby and Gordon had a very special date, and they're going to tell you about it next.
On the Ring. 520. It is the Hardline. It is the Rant Revival. It is sponsored by
Eatsy's Market and Bakery.
And ladies and gentlemen, it features Gordon Keith, Corby Davidson, Gen X Dave Lane, The Rant. You know them. The band's back together. Here
Indeed.
They are.
Indeed. So last night, Gordon and I were lucky enough to acquire...
Two-thirds of The Rant went together.
Well, you were sick and we didn't want you to get us sick.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we invited you. Why didn't you come?
Oh, I must have lost that text message.
No, we sent you a flyer in the mail.
Oh.
You should get there.
Yeah, it'll get there tomorrow.
Number. It's your Deep Ellum apartment.
So, let's start with just saying that our old pal Jack White, who we've known now for, I don't know, 7 years or something like that.
From Tenacious D.
That's the Hardline Zone.
That's Jack Black. So Jack's one of those guys that when he comes to town, he could play the AAC, but I just don't think that that's his jam, and more on that later on. He has decided that with this tour, it is a pop-up tour, where 48 hours before he gets to a city, there is an alert via Instagram, via the whatever venue he chooses to play, where boom, Jack White will be here in less than 48 hours. This was announced on Monday morning at 10:30 via, I think, his Instagram, maybe the website at Trees, where he played. But the pop-up show is not just a surprise show. It's also him saying, I don't want to play these big arenas. Matter of fact, I don't want to play mid-level arenas. I want to play clubs where the max capacity, like last night at Trees, hey, Max, is 600. Tonight in Austin, I think the Mohawk Lounge is about the same size. He's playing tiny places.
Yeah, he's getting back to his roots, and it's all the theme because the album No Name was a surprise release album.
Yeah, and this was his baby. He conceived all of it. And so Monday morning when the tickets went on sale, they sold out in about 5 seconds. And then it was a question of whether you, if you signed up, if you won the lottery or whatever, to actually get to go see Jack. And Gordon and I were lucky enough to both win the lottery.
That's incredible. What are the odds?
Yeah.
It's amazing that
way
happened.
I know.
But you won, like, the VIP lottery, I understand.
What? No, we just won a lottery.
Uh-huh.
So, Gordon and I had a table upstairs at Trees.
Bottle service.
What are the odds?
Yeah, oh my God. Also part of the lottery.
Strippers.
And a lottery for getting your own private table.
Yeah.
And concierge service. Just
bottles everywhere.
Yes.
Crazy.
Nothing
last
but
night.
Bottles of top shelf liquors and lap dances going on the whole time.
Incredible.
So, Gordon's buddy Brandon was there. I was there with my wife, she told Gordon she's just a massive fan.
Of Gordon?
Yeah, she's like, nice to meet you finally. It's been 30 years.
Yeah, Corby refused to introduce me to her.
Right, for all these years.
Yeah.
But no, she loves Jack White and you know.
She's a huge fan, yeah. Very ecstatic about being there and seeing him. I guess she's seen him before, right?
Yeah.
Multiple times.
Yeah. I would say, like, if you count all the artists that we've seen together, that's probably like third on the list behind, I don't even know, but yeah, we've seen,
I know.
We've seen him a ton. Who?
Foo Fighters.
Isabel.
Isabel. I'm sorry.
Well, she doesn't like him. Yeah, she's only a rock and roll gal. So he's doing the tiny club thing. He's promoting his new record. Gordon, you'd never seen him before.
Never seen him. Yeah. And I'm familiar with some of the White Stripes stuff. I wasn't, a huge listener of theirs just because I don't consume as much music as I should. But I certainly saw him in that documentary with
Jimmy Page
and The Edge. That was great.
It will get loud or something.
Yeah.
It might get loud. It's incredible to me how, as I mentioned this morning, he can just write a great hook.
Yes.
And I was just blown away by how many songs he's playing that just have the hookiest hooks in them. I mean, he just comes up with something and he can build a whole song around it. And as I said, Seven Nation Army has entered into the probably top 10 or 20 hooks of all time. Like, that's what people play when they first start learning how to play guitar now.
Isn't that unbelievable? And it's so simple. And it's become this anthem, too, for every arena. I don't know if there's, like, a person. They may not know it's him or them. But is there a person, like, under the age of from 10 to 70 that doesn't know that hook?
No. Like, I went to go see my daughter play middle school volleyball, and all the girls sing it together.
It's unbelievable.
Imagine creating something that turns into that.
I know. And
You probably flex in the mirror every day.
He is wealthy beyond his greatest desires. Just off that, he would be.
And then he does the Picks with Friends theme. Think about that.
That's weird.
Did he play that last night?
He did not play that. And so this is off his new record, and the thing I love about Jack is that he is the keeper of rock and roll. And we were talking, Gordon, before the show about this. He is he protects that genre so much and loves it so much, and he wants people to realize how great that medium is. Just guitar, bass, drums, and the sounds that it can make. That you truly believe it. Like, I believe what he's selling to us. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And he had so much energy and has such a great stage presence. I think he's about to be 50, or he just turned 50.
Yeah, he's mid to late 40s. Yeah.
And he still has that much energy and just absolute command of the guitar and the stage, the presentation. And as you mentioned, being a keeper of rock and roll, he's also quite the music historian. Like, I loved it when he, I don't know how many people picked up on it because he was kind of scream talking it in the middle of a song, at the beginning of a song, about how Robert Johnson had recorded half of his songs,
yeah,
about three blocks away from where we were.
Well, and
at Trees,
yeah, and make no mistake about it. You know, we know Jack because of Warstick, the baseball bat company, because our buddy Ben Jenkins and Ian Kinsler, they're a part of it. And Ian got together with Jack because Ian was with the Tigers at the time, and Jack loves art, he loves baseball. Well, when they were trying to figure out a place to put the Warstick headquarters, that's why it's in Deep Ellum. Like, they really found a great building, but this is about Jack knowing the history of Deep Ellum and knowing the history of Robert Johnson. There is no doubt that is why that's there. He's very proud of that store and the history of Dallas. He loves coming to Dallas, which I love that too. I mean, he'll go all out in this city. Not that he doesn't hold back anywhere, but man, it was such a raucous show, and it was weaving between the new album, between a lot of deep cuts off of from the White Stripes, off from the Raconteurs, some of his solo stuff. This is one of the songs that he played last night from the White Stripes. It's such a catchy, great tune.
And that venue, that is the perfect size to see someone like that. 600 people, tons of energy. Not a bad seat in the house. Of course, it was standing room only down there on the floor.
Yeah,
we were with the commons.
Yes.
We were up in the Emperor's balcony, and at the end, James looked at us for the thumbs up or thumbs down.
I know.
From us to find out whether he was going to live.
Gordon gave him one thumbs up. That's it.
Wow.
Okay, but get this, and I alluded to this morning, because I want to know the rest of the story.
Okay.
We had these great seats, and thanks to James from Trees and
Jonathan.
And Jonathan also, both of them were great to us.
Yeah.
Afterwards, I'm getting ready to leave and figure for the long drive home to Hearst, I was going to go to the restroom first. So I went to the restroom. I come back out. You had disappeared, Corby. And my buddy Brandon says, yeah, Corby just went in there. And he points to the artist only section.
Yes.
That was manned by security, not allowing anyone back there.
Snake.
So last I hear, you go back there, and I don't know whether you talked to Jack or talked to his manager or what happened.
Pass.
Just a trail of smoke following me as I'm heading into the artist room.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So we were walking out, and Julie and I both were like, let's go, because I wasn't late. It was 11 or something like that. Show started 9 o'clock, but we had to get up and deal with the kiddo this morning and all that, and so take him to school. So let's get out of here. So we're walking out, and the artist section is right there. We have to take the stairwell down, and I see Lalo, who is Jack's manager, who we've got to know through playing baseball games with Jack and the Warstick crew and all that. And he's standing right there. I was like, Lalo, what's up? He's like, hey, what's up? And so, you know, Lalo plays in the baseball games. Lalo's been at the broadcast site, and we've had Jack on before. And don't say it, Dave. And so he was like, we talked for a second. And I was like, you know, how long are you out? He was like, I'm out for the whole tour. And he was like, who are you with? I was like, my wife. And he was like, well, y'all come back. And so I had no intentions of going back there or anything. We were going to leave. I was like, well, let's go back.
Little old me?
What?
Back
what?
There?
Typical Corby.
What?
I wouldn't know what to do.
So head back there.
Let me grab
there.
My guitar real fast.
So you got to see Jack off stage.
I did see Jack off stage. Okay. Yes, I did. And so we go back there, and the green room has changed quite a bit up there. They've redone everything, because remember, that's the same place where after Nirvana played there, that the most historic, by the way, this is the best club show I've ever been to. Like, I didn't go to the Nirvana show. This was the best club, meaning 500 or so person. I was so blown away by it all. And I've seen this guy a ton, This was so perfect.
Is the artist room still that little tree house?
Yeah, it's off to the side.
Up the stairs to the left?
But they've redone everything up there. It's nice now. But that's where Cobain was found hiding in a closet doing heroin after he got in the fight with the stagehand there at Trees. So, I walk back there and immediately, yes, I see Jack and he walks over and, you know, give him a big high five and a hug. And I was like, that's awesome. And you guys killed it out there tonight. And the first thing he says, because Jack, he likes certain things. And one of the things he said, or one of the things he likes was the first thing he said. He was like,
you got that pot?
That pot. He goes, hey, man, so the Rangers, they need some pitching, right? What are they going to do in the offseason?
Sports.
I was like, are you kidding me?
Well, what'd you tell him?
Well, my standard response to baseball talk is, oh, you just
I don't
want
know,
the-
but do you have pot? Corby asked him for pot.
Do you have the pot?
Baseball?
And I was like, we just won the World Series. Nobody cares. Don't worry about it. He's like, yeah, that's true. That's true. But we started talking about the tour, and I was like, this is such a great idea. And this was such a, you know, a magical feeling inside of here. And I imagine every single one of your shows is this way. And he's like, man, he's like, I just don't like playing the big venues. He's like, this is where I feel comfortable. This is where I began, and this is where I feel like I should be. And obviously, the reason bands play the Cotton Bowl or the American Airlines Center is because it pays all the monies. And I think to a man, if they all could get away with doing something like this, they would. Because at the heart of it all, this is where they all started.
Well, there's probably a tipping point. Like, it, when you are on the rise, it's got to be a lot about ego. Like, oh, we can sell out that venue. Oh, we can sell out that venue.
Yeah.
And so look at all these people that love us. Look at all these people that are clamoring to see us. And then there's a point where, man, I hate all this attention. I hate playing these big rooms where the sound's not as good and the people aren't as close.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. But they're supplementing. He's like, we're making no money off this. None. This is a tour of love, of just going town to town and showing up and...
Like Jan 6.
And doing our thing.
Yeah, exactly like Jan 6.
Not much like Jan 6, but I
that was about
that.
Love, too.
It was.
Didn't you say that they're actually in a van?
They are.
Surely they have like a tour bus.
No, they are in a van.
Oh, he's totally throwing it back then.
There are four guys
he's
in the van.
He's pretending like he hasn't made a single cent.
Drums, bass, guitar, and keyboards, and then the tour manager and another guy that, two other guys, I guess, that work with Jack on the road. They are all in the same van going town to town.
Surely Jack is not taking a turn behind the wheel.
I don't know if they have a driver. Surely they do. It's unbelievable,
dude. Yours.
They went from Tulsa straight to here, down to Austin, where he said last night, which is so cool, he was like, yeah, we're in Austin tomorrow. I was like, are you leaving tonight? He's like, no, we're leaving in the morning at 8:30. So they get like 5 or 6 hours of sleep, and then boom, get in the van and drive to Austin. And he goes, and nobody knows this yet, but we're playing a surprise show tomorrow in the day in Austin. So they're doing it right now. So they announced it this morning that they're playing the Continental Club. And I don't know if you guys have been to the Continental Club before in Austin.
It's been a long time.
Dude, it is so legendary and so spectacular.
It's on like 5th Street, I think?
I think so, yeah. So they're playing right now there. And then tonight they play.
Is that a ticketed event?
Yes. So they announced it this morning. Boom. You got to buy tickets. Sold out in like 30 seconds. And
is
then,
this on ESPN or NBA TV?
No. Hold on, Dave. Now you're off.
So it's just, I think it's such a pure, that was one of the purest rock shows, Gordon, I've ever been to.
Yes. And that's the best way to describe it. It was a rock show. Absolutely. I mean, you know what it reminded me a lot of, and I think I mentioned this on the air, it reminded me of Zeppelin a lot, because he has that high voice, and then he's playing kind of Jimmy Page stuff, and it's real blues-influenced.
Yes.
Slide guitar, a lot of that.
Did they grab your phones?
No. So for the first time in many Jack White shows, because his bit is they take your phone, you can't even open it up.
Did he mention anything about that?
Never mentioned it. Never mentioned it.
Were people
filming?
Looking through their phones a lot, or
You know, not that many. I mean, there were some.
I think people were living in the moment, especially the people close to the stage. I didn't see, you know, of course you're going to have people filming because they're that close to Jack White. It's the only time it's ever going to happen in their lives. But I think overall it wasn't, it wasn't as bad as I've seen.
Did they try to take Gordon's book?
Yeah. They confiscated my encyclopedias, so I'm pissed about that.
Couldn't get some work done on your projects.
Yeah, I was starting with the I started with A, and I was reading straight through all the encyclopedias.
Gordon never broke out a book or anything. You were into it. It was awesome.
I loved it. And I'm so glad they didn't take our phones because, as I said, I think that was the best picture you and I have ever taken together. The one that I quizzed out and Instagrammed out.
No, that was cool. And it was, if somebody saw us taking a picture, they saw the biggest chaos ever.
It took us forever to get the picture made because we couldn't get the...
It was embarrassing.
How do you turn on the flash? And it was a bunch of grandpas.
Julie's yelling at us. How old are y'all?
By the way, I've had a couple of P1s confirm that Jack is taking a turn behind the wheel.
I'm just now seeing this. Look at this. Our Twitter, Gordon. Jack's driving down to Austin. It's unbelievable, dude. It's so cool.
Well, I guess when you're the driver, you get to control the stereo.
Yeah, it says if you're currently on this is a couple of weeks ago. If you're currently on I-95, be on the lookout for Jack White driving a tour van blasting Minor Threat and the Stooges. Look, I love the guy. I love what he stands for. I love that he's the great protector of rock and roll and the great executor of rock and roll. It's a medium that I don't know where it is in the pantheon of music right now. But you go see a show of his and you feel like you're reborn into that genre. It was a
magical night, and I'm so glad I got to share it with you guys.
Yeah.
Well, you were invited, Dave.
All you had to do was show up.
Yeah. Check your answering machine in your apartment in Deep Ellum.
Okay.
from 25 years ago.
Yeah. All right, Gordon, that was fun. The good hang.
That was great, Corby. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, hardliners.
All right, Ben.
All right, there he goes. Gordon Keith, there's the rant revival. Go Jack White. College football blowhard next.